Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I hope more people watched the Richmond NASCAR weekend on TV than were there in person. ZMAX Drag Strip had plenty of NHRA fans that should make NASCAR jealous. And you want to talk NASCAR grassroots and talk about fans in attendance? Bowman Gray Stadium opened their season last Saturday night and... wow. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, May the 1st, 2017. Yes, it is the glorious month of May. Hashtag, is it May yet? Absolutely. It is finally May. Racers know what I'm talking about. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us. He's giving us four tires and fuel for the run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour. Don't worry. The spotter for Jimmy Johnson is not spotting for Jeff Gilder. Let's get right to it. The Speedway Report victory lane lap and tell you who won what on this very busy last weekend in April. As glorious month of May is here. You know, real racers out there, we get it. We know it. Month of May, that's like December 1st to a six-year-old. This is May 1st for crazy racers. And gosh, month of May, I just get so jacked up over it. Anyway, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup cars raced in the heat yesterday afternoon in Richmond, Virginia. My home state home state man, Joey Logano, takes the checkered flag yesterday. On Saturday afternoon, the Xfinity cars from NASCAR race there. Kyle Larson takes a late race lead and the win. Jumping back up to the Connecticut reference, the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour held the Spring Sizzler at Stafford Springs, Connecticut, the greatest race in the history of spring. Ryan Preece held off Dub Kobe for the checkered flags there. Saturday night, the IndyCar Tour was out in Phoenix, Arizona, and Simon Pagenaud won the race there. Let me stop there for a moment. We had Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski 1-2 in Richmond, Virginia in the Cup race. And then Pagenaud and Will Power ran 1-2 in the IndyCar race. That's Roger Penske, 1-2 and 1-2 in NASCAR Cup and IndyCars. Formula One raced in Russia, where Valtteri Bottas filled Nico Rosberg's Mercedes seat just fine and claimed his first career F1 win in a very close finish ahead of Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel. Locally here, I was down in Charlotte, North Carolina for the four wide nationals for the NHRA. Yes, I saw these things in person, and 40,000 horsepower launched and did a four-second race. Top Fuel, your winner was Steve Torrance. Ron Capps takes Funny Car. Chris McGahey was your winner in Pro Stock, and Pro Stock Motorcycle was won by L.E. Tonglet. Now, when I gave the report last week, Mother Nature had a big factor. She jumped in the Midwest this week and stole some races from the dirt tracks. The Lucas Oil late models were supposed to run Friday night in Granite City, Illinois, and supposed to run Saturday night in Macon, Illinois. Both races were rained out, will be postponed and made up. I would say check the website, see when the dates will be. Lucas Oil late models, just told you that. World of Outlaw late models, same story. Friday and Saturday night doubleheader rained out. Kansas City, Kansas, and Salina, Oklahoma. They're working on makeup dates, folks, so stay tuned for their social media. They'll let you know when. World of Outlaw sprint cars, the other big dirt track tour, well, they went one for two. On Friday night, they did get their race in Plymouth, Indiana. Here we go with the Connecticut reference again. My hometown boy, David Gravel, won Friday night's A-Main. Saturday's race in Hobstadt, Indiana, did get rained out. In the Midwest, sticking with all that wet weather, Sunday afternoon was a little bit of a break for the ARCA cars. They raced the high banks of Salem, Indiana. Dalton Sargent won the 200-lap race yesterday afternoon. USAC Silver Crown cars shared the stage with the IndyCar machines in Phoenix, Arizona. Bobby Santos won that 100-miler on the Saturday matinee there. Back on the dirt in the Northeast, Doug Manmiller won at Grandview, Pennsylvania in the 358 dirt small blocks. And like I said, the Madhouse opened up here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The Bowman Gray Stadium held their Hayes Jewelers 200 off a one-week rain delay. Burt Myers takes his eighth checkered flag in that season-opening 200-lap race. Going to talk a little bit more about that night a little later in the show. Let's start things off with Junior, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Yeah, he had a rough day in Richmond yesterday, get run into the wall by his own teammate, Jimmy Johnson. Whole nother story with that, didn't really want to dance around too much, as that was, I don't know, pretty thoroughly covered in the NASCAR media. But we hadn't talked about Junior's retirement because he didn't check with us before he made the announcement. We were off the air, and then last Tuesday, he holds a press conference. So it's been a week since Junior announced his retirement at the end of the season. Didn't have much to say about it. It's been covered with social media. Didn't want to go away with it unmentioned here on the show. I've been asked by one person, it's been 50 people in the last week, what do you think of Junior hanging up his helmet? What do you think of Junior retiring? I say good for Dale. As he said in his press conference, he can make this decision now on his own. It is too fragile of a life to believe that he wouldn't have that choice. Very easily, as he said, that choice could be made for you. I think in his time off with his concussions over the past few years, especially last year where he missed so much of the second half of the season, really got a reality check for him. And he's in his early 40s, just got married last year. He wants to be a father. There is a lot of life to live outside of racing stock cars. Good for him. I wish him well and good health the rest of the year, and that he can step away at Homestead Miami on his own terms. Just a personal observation as well. I believe we're 8 or 9 races into the Monster Energy Cup Tour, the season that we have so far. And I think Junior's well aware from his performance so far that with his recovery, with his head injuries, I don't think he's where he wants to be. He's not up there in the top 5 every week, not leading laps, not challenging for the wins. I think he realizes he's not back to the prime of his career, and he's not going to be back to the prime of his career. He's not in a position to go challenge for wins, not in a position to challenge for a championship. I think internally he knows he just doesn't have it. Now, I'm not bashing Dale. There's enough people doing that. I'm actually an Earnhardt fan. Like him, great. Personality off and on the track. Done so much for the sport of stock car racing and NASCAR in particular, all of motorsports. But you're talking professional sports. In any athlete, any sport, you have to be 100%. The difference between the guys that win championships and races and the guys that are close, you're at 95%, 96%. Dale Jr. is back to a competitive level. He's not back at a winning level. He's not back at a championship level. I don't think he's going to ever be back there. Good for him, stepping out on his own terms with good health. He's got a bright future ahead of him. Dale, we wish you the best. Now, he's the most popular driver in NASCAR for so many years. I am curious as to who will pick up that mantle from here on out and be the stamped most popular driver. I know Bill Elliott was when I was growing up for so many years. Junior has been for so many as well. 2018 and beyond, who do you think? Let us know on Facebook or Twitter if who you think the next big run for most popular driver will be. Now let's talk fans as we talk about all the fans that love Dale Jr. Let's talk about the fans. I'm going to recap my weekend here and give you an idea of what I saw. A lot of comparisons and contrasting in the world of professional motorsports. My Saturday began at the ZMAX Dragway in Concord, North Carolina for qualifying day for the Fort Wide Nationals. I just took one casual stroll through the garage area one time. Well, I took several. This story takes place at just once. Without any type of scheduling, a random look around the garage area of people having impromptu autograph sessions with the fans. Matt Hagen, John Force, Courtney Force, Ron Capps, Hector Arana Sr. and Jr., and Erica Enders. These weren't any scheduled, timed, planned autograph sessions. Just on one ride through the pit area, this is what I saw. These guys are the most interactive in all of motorsports. They are on a professional motorsports level. They take you back to short track racing, where drivers are just so interactive with all the fans out there. The NHRA is doing something right. The place, the ZMAX Dragway, was packed on Saturday. You know the trick as well as I do, or Charlotte Motor Speedway and so many other tracks paint their seats different colors. So when you pan past quickly with a TV camera or look at the stands from an angle, they look full. They have regular aluminum seats. They got some white ones, some blue ones, some yellow ones, some red ones. When you take a quick pan, it looks like a lot more people are there. Those grandstands at the NHRA track did not need those painted seats. That place was packed. I don't know how many were there. I think the place holds 40,000. Please don't quote me on that. I do not know what the seating capacity is for ZMAX Dragway. But wow, that place was absolutely packed on Saturday. As a fellow writer told me in the media center, NASCAR would cry if they saw how many people were there. Because in the days of electronic devices with laptops and phones and everything else, we're sitting in the media center in the tower watching qualifying runs for the, you know, Top Fuel cars and funny cars. We're also following the Xfinity Series race from Richmond, and I'm seeing the video from there and how few people were at the Richmond International Raceway on Saturday afternoon for that Xfinity Series race. I don't know what happened in the days of yore with the late model sportsmen 30 and 40 years ago, where the fairgrounds was packed, but NASCAR has gone down a very dark road when most of the grandstands are shut down and there's just simply not that many people there for the Xfinity Series race. Later on Saturday afternoon, I wanted to take off and head to Bowman Gray Stadium. Speaking of fans, yes, we're going to get to the Madhouse. I wanted to get to Bowman Gray Stadium, but I was delayed a little bit. I'm in the media center, and I have a chance to talk to wonderful people. Who? Two of the big names in the NHRA, Courtney Force and John Force, come into the media center. The back and forth between the two of them is almost stand-up comedy. Courtney is just a chip off the old block as far as John's sense of humor, the comedy, the captivation of a room, and just the interaction there. She's wonderful. I think somebody asked as a joke if John would like to MC Courtney's media press session, and he did. Turned his hat around backwards, had the brim on back, got to the podium, emceed it for a few seconds, and then decided he had enough and told the real guy to get in there. But he's willing to do that. He's a ham for the cameras. He's a showman. Loves the stage. Motor racing needs more people like John Force there. Courtney Force, a chip off the old block. Great personality. Good racer. Good to see her doing so well because they were bringing in the fast qualifiers, and she was quick qualifier in funny car. Now, from there, pretty hot day, and it was hot up in Richmond, Saturday hot. Headed up the road, about an hour up the road after funny car qualifying and Top Fuel qualifying, head on up to my beloved Modifieds at the Bowman Gray Stadium, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, for the season opening Hayes Jewelers 200. Fantastic field of Modifieds up there. 25 cars, I believe they had. So, yeah, it wasn't like they had to send a lot of cars home that did not qualify. But there was quality cars. And it was, I'm going to say, one of the best races I have ever seen at Bowman Gray Stadium. Week after week, year after year, you hear me talk about the Madhouse when I go up there. And I'll tell you, that place is great for entertainment. But the racing up there, literal racing, is not always that good. Race program I saw Saturday night was one of the best I've ever seen in all of the divisions. Sure, had a few guys mad at each other. We wrecked some cars a little bit, but it wasn't a wreck fest by any means. I'll stick with the Modified 200. We had I'm going to say this. We had a pass for the lead on the outside. Yes, it happened. Tim Brown went around Burt Myers. Tim Brown pits in the pits from the point with about 60 or so laps left for some fresh tires. He comes all the way back to Burt Meyer's bumper for second place. There was not dirty driving. There was not beating, banging, wrecking. It was fantastic. That was a lot of passing and good racing. It was one of the best modified races I've ever seen up there. And I love the 200s. You guys know I love the distance races. This race has a lot of potential to be lame. I was sitting with Kevin Rice, a friend of mine, Saturday night, and I've told him that I 1 year I saw the top nine or the green flag fly in that 200, and the cars roared into turn number one, and I took note of the top nine positions. The top nine cars never changed position for that entire race. I want to see that was at least 5-6 years ago. This race we saw Saturday night was anything but. We had lead changes. We had cars passing from the back to the front, pit stops. The guys with fresh tires chasing after guys with worn tires. Wasn't wrecking, dirty driving, mad at each other. Great, fantastic racing, and it was awesome. And the fans up there, we talked about the fans at Z-Max Dragway and the lack of fans at Richmond International Raceway. Richmond could have used Bowman Gray Stadium's crowd. That grandstand there holds 17,000 people. I don't believe it was a literal sellout, but it was really, really close. There was very few empty seats to be had, but that place fills from the top down. There's people that don't sit at Bowman Gray Stadium, but wander the top in the midway and watch racing from up there the entire night. Somebody asked me, how many people do you think are here? And my guess was around 19,000 people, literally, without exaggeration, for this fantastic race. $10 to get in, $1 or $2 for children, you just cannot go wrong. By coincidence, I sat next with the family of a young lady racer there who made her debut at the stadium, all of 17 years old. She's turning 18 in a few weeks. Her name is Amber Lynn. Her very first race in a street stock at Bowman Gray Stadium. How did she do? Fourth place. Not too bad. And I believe she certainly started outside of the top 10, 15th or 16th. I don't have it written down, but a young lady, still in her teens and takes on the madhouse, comes home with a nice top five. Good for her. We may talk to her and get her hooked up with Stars Radio and Jerry Smith in the coming weeks. So Saturday night, let's continue talking about the fans. We come home from that, and I check out the results of the IndyCar race in Phoenix on Saturday night. Where were the fans in Phoenix, for crying out loud? They saw this great race with the few that were at Phoenix, saw a great race with the USAC Silver Crown cars earlier in the night, and then there wasn't a whole lot there, really, for the IndyCar race. Not that the race was any good. Yeah, big IndyCar fan. You guys know I am. The race wasn't that good. They tested out there, found the aero kit package that they needed, and I don't believe they put it into play for this race because there's a new aero package coming for everybody in 2018. Basically, the 2017 Saturday night race at Phoenix for the IndyCars sucked. It did. I love IndyCars, but the race sucked. No passing. Leader could catch the tail end of the pack and not even pass the tail end of the pack. Nobody could pass anybody. Cars are spread out all over the track. I love IndyCar. You made a lousy race. I don't know if you could afford to give up a race to save the car owners money just so they put the new aero package on in 2018. You gave up a golden opportunity to possibly put on a great race. Jumping back to Richmond on Sunday afternoon. Crowds there. Where were you? That place sat over 100,000 people 10 years ago. The seats have been gutted, taken out. It holds somewhere around 60 to 65,000 people. If they were lucky, Richmond was half full yesterday. Where the hell did everybody go? I know where they went. Just like me, disenfranchised with all the gimmicks and crap that NASCAR has done to the Cup Series over the year. We've got playoffs. We've got stages. This horse is ready for the glue factory. I've beaten on this topic so much with how NASCAR has self-destructed over the past decade or more. Top it off. Let's put the cherry on the cake. Brian France himself shows up to Richmond for an unannounced news conference. So what's the problem? Well, it's unannounced for starters. How do you let the media or fans prepare for his arrival if he doesn't announce it? And then you do it an hour before the green flag. Media have deadlines and tight work restrictions. They don't have time for this if Brian France doesn't let people know he's coming. He's coming. That's a big deal. Let the media talk to him and get some answers out of him, but not when he sneaks up on them and doesn't give them a chance to do it. What's his points? NASCAR will miss Dale Earnhardt Jr. No kidding. Water is wet in related news. Point number two, young drivers need attitude. Don't be humble. Don't be humble. Isn't that about opposite of everything we should be teaching our children? We want kids to look up to these young drivers as role models. Humility is absolutely what we should be teaching them. Attitude and confidence are not always the same thing. Humility, yes. Cockiness, no. Brian France, you're out of touch on one more item. Plus, point number three, NASCAR is trying to get younger fans. Yeah, we know. That's the excuse you've used for the chase, the playoffs, and the segments for so many years. You also used that when Winston bailed out in 2003 and we got a cell phone sponsorship in 2004. We can go after younger fans. Well, how's your fan count doing since 2003, dude? Well, look for the grandstand at Richmond on Sunday afternoon, and you can tell me exactly how NASCAR is doing. With that, I'll step off of my soapbox and maybe drop to my knees. If you got a spare prayer this week, I would like you to offer it up to John Andretti. He's talked a little bit about his health conditions. John Andretti, cousin to Michael, uncle to Marco, son to Aldo, nephew to Mario. John Andretti, a great racer in his own right, suffering for stage 4 colon cancer. Motorsports could use more people like John Andretti. If you've ever met John Andretti, one of the nicest guys in racing that there ever was and there ever is. Don't want to talk about him in past tense, but John Andretti, stage 4 colon cancer. So please keep the Andretti family in your thoughts. We need John around as long as possible. We wish him the best of health and hope everything upturns in his direction. Everyone, in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. On the top ribbon, please click on the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show as well as archived programs. We have columns posted from Steve Zonger, Paul Blothus, and me. Paul posted a story last week. Here's the gist of it. We've lost Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Nico Rosberg, Carl Edwards, and now Dale Earnhardt Jr. over the past 2 years. What is next for auto racing? Go to SpeedwayReport.com and find out. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the outstanding production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff and our Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday night, 7 Eastern Time, on Racing Through History. We affectionately call it the Goat Rodeo. Free Pennington will kick off Tuesday night at 6:30 Eastern Time right here on Racers Reunion. Big thanks to everyone on the chat rooms for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much for listening and to be part of our family. Now, did you tune in late or would you like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report? This broadcast can be viewed on demand at SpeedwayReport.com, RacersReunion.com, and on the Speedway Report Facebook page, as all shows are archived. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now don't go anywhere because BP, JB, and BS are coming up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from Talladega NASCAR, Laguna Seca IMSA, Atlanta NHRA, and racing's hot topics. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night.
On May 19th.